You're listening to the Yeshiva of Newark podcast. I'm your host and curator, Rabbi Avram Kivalevich, and I hope you enjoy this episode. With downloads approaching the million mark and an archival library numbering in the thousands, the Yeshiva of Newark podcast has been striving to continuously upgrade our content, professionalize our audio sound, along with altering approaches in light of much appreciated listener feedback. I firmly believe the niche has been carved out that resonates with many on the wide spectrum of observant Jews. This explains why we continually rank high in independent online lists of top yeshiva podcasts. That proud edifice is in real danger of toppling and disappearing. We need the help of our listeners to continue to record and edit, to promote a product that has been a balm and instructor to so many. Just $36. As a minimum donation from 1,000 of you out there will keep us afloat as a Newark of straight, intelligent, humorous discussion, lectures, debate, and inquiry, while the destructive waters of ignorance and identity politics, cyberbullying, crash around us. Your generous contributions will seal and galvanize this ark till it comes to a satisfying rest in an era of Moyer Tzdeya, heralding Mashiach, B'mheira, B'yameinu, Amen.
Shalom. This is Tzurim Rabbon in a special Hilchos Pesach shir. I call this getting down to business. In other words, the three B's or the three bases, which are Bedika, Bittul, and Biur, the three elements that are what we do in preparation for Leil Pesach, which is, of course, coming upon us very soon. Let us take a look now, please, at some of the sources. The Gemara says that Om Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Gemara in Psochem Dav Vav, HaMefaresh Vayotze B'Sheyora, somebody who is taking a sea journey, and this is what people did, of course, because they needed to have Parnasa, and it was only in going to areas outside of Eretz Yisrael and places that they would be able to find a way to bring back enough money to make a living. Or Hayotze B'Sheyora, somebody who is not necessarily going on a sea journey, but somebody who is on a land caravan. And it's Kodim Shleishim Yom, which means he possibly might not even be home during Yontif. Because who knows how long it's going to take him? Who knows what will happen out there? Now, what will happen when it comes the night of Pesach, or towards Pesach, the night of the 13th, actually the night before Pesach? What about his mitzvah of Bedikas Chometz? Okay, so if he's leaving more than 30 days before the 13th night of Nisan, Kodim Shloshim Yom, Ein Zokuk Levayer, he doesn't have to do any sort of biur. He doesn't personally have to do anything, but Toik Shloshim Yom Zokuk Levayer, he does need to be involved in Bedikas Chometz and doing something if he's leaving before 30 days. Now, even though it's possible he won't be there for Yontif, and you know, he's going to have to perhaps make alternate arrangements, what's going to happen with his Chometz. But if it's more than 30 days beforehand, Bedika is not necessary. Now, that is what Rav Paskin. So the Gemara wants to know, why did Rav come up with 30 days as the shear? There's clearly going to be a problem later if he owns the chometz, if he hasn't yet gotten rid of it, if he's on a boat somewhere or he's doing business somewhere. But there is an isra bal yira bal yimo. Say, there's an isra of owning chometz no matter where you are in the world. Would mechiras chometz help? Would bitul chometz help? These are things that could happen. But clearly what we're talking about is the mitzvah of Bedikas Chometz, that there's a mitzvah derabonon of Bedikas Chometz, a takona derabonon of Bedikas Chometz. And that takona somehow doesn't take hold of this person if it's before 30 days, if it's more than 30 days. If you are connected to your home and to your chometz within 30 days of the night of the 13th, or the night of the 14th, then Bedikas Chometz is something you can't escape. Now, whether you say the broch or not is another question. But you have to go through the process of searching, and it is chal on you. It's not just the night before Pesach. But why is it 30 days? The Gemara wants to know. So the Gemara says, this is based on a b'raisa. Rab's psak is based on a b'raisa. Shoylin v'dorshin behilchas ha-Pesach, kaidem ha-Pesach, shloishim yoyim. And this is, that's even 30 days before Pesach, one is shoyl v'dorish. One inquires, one asks, and then one searches. There's the question, and then there's the search. Dairish, to search, to extract. And therefore, since seemingly before 30 days, one doesn't have to be shoyl v'dairish, that is an indicator that it's Pesach mode. Shoyl v'darshan b'ilchas ha-Pesach indicates that this is the Pesach time of the year. This is Pesach time. This is Pesach mental time. And therefore, the mitzvah b'dikas chametz is tethered to the fact that this is the Pesach period. What's the indicator that's the Pesach period? What learning is going on? Learning is the barometer. Well, what sort of learning? Well, we're going to find out in a minute. But one thing we see clear, that the Torah mentality is what creates the period. It's about the learning that's happening. Even before the idea of being Dersh Vilchas Pesach, we know Pesach is on its way. It's rather the human involvement in the learning of Pesach that turns this into a Pesach period. And because of that, the mitzvah of Bedika has to happen. Even though you're not going to be home for Pesach, Bedika is relevant to you. Now, how do we know that this 30-day period was a time for studying Hilchas Pesach? So we bring so the Gemara gives an antecedent to that, a precedent to that, of Moshe Rabbeinu describing the mitzvahs of Pesach Sheni. In the beginning of Sefer Parshas Baleischa, what does it say? Moshe Oimed b'Pesach Rishon u'Mazra b'Pesach Sheni. Because what happened was there were people who complained that they were Tmeim Lenefesh, that it wasn't right that they weren't able to do that first Pesach in the Midbar. They had been Tomei. Why they were Tomei is a question. Was it the people who had brought out the remains of Nodav Aviu? Was it the people who were involved in the Aron of Yosef Atzadik, whose bones would be Metame? But there definitely were people who were Tomei. And already, 30 days before, meaning on Erev Pesach, he taught, Moshe Rabbeinu taught with God's ha'orois, with God revealing to Moshe's mind, and Moshe then speaking them out, the laws of Pesach Sheni. So you see that the laws of Pesach Sheni, which is not the whole holiday of Pesach, it's only the Korban Pesach, was told to them 30 days in advance. Now, you could say it's because they were upset, right? And they wanted to know. Okay. But he didn't tell them, look, I've got an Eitzah for you. We'll talk about it in a week or two. He actually already told them, as Klal Yisrael was getting ready to do their Pesach, Moshe Rabbeinu had a shear with the Tmeim Lenefesh, the ones who could not bring the Korban Pesach due to Tumah considerations. And he taught them, despite their state of Tumah, the laws of the Korban Pesach Sheni, of how it works, and who is able to bring the Korban Pesach Sheni, and in general, what the Pesach Sheni is all about. And it's from there that we learn out the idea of 30 days. 30 days from the Pesach Sheni. Therefore, Pesach itself, Pesach Rishon too, also has the 30-day period of study. Now, the Rishonim ask a question that there's another brisa that says that it's not 30 days, but rather Moshe Tikkun Yisrael Shiva Shailan Vidarshim Binyano Shoyim. Hilchas Pesach Bepesach, Hilchas Hatzeres Batzeres, Hilchas Chag Bechag. There's another brisa that says that the studying of Pesach issues is only on the night and the day of Pesach itself and during the whole period of Pesach. So the question, of course, is why did Moshe Rabbeinu need to make a takana for Pesach? There already was a takana, seemingly, that we see from Pesach Sheni to do with 30 days before, not just when Pesach arrives. So that is a question that the Rishonim deal with. There are two answers. Let's start with Tysus's answer. Tysus in Megillah says, it's both. In other words, you got to do it not only 30 days in advance, but on Yom Tov itself. Don't think, oh, I did that already. No, there's a special sweetness of doing it on Yom Tov as well. Afil Yom Tov to Darshinet Shloshim Yom Lefanav, Darshin Bay Bayayim, Tysus says. So it's actually a double takana. One is to be involved 30 days before, as you're getting there. And then on the Yom Tov itself, there's obviously questions and issues that will come up. Maybe it's a different type of study. One is with anticipation, and one is still, and maybe one is zeroing in on koshering for Pesach, on bedikas chometz for Pesach, and other things. And maybe now there's other halachas about the inyonim of the yom, which of course is relevant to the other holidays. And again, this gets into a question whether the other holidays also have a 30-day period from before. It's a machlekas rishonim and achronim. There are rishonim that seem to say, and some achronim that say even for Purim, that you should study 30 days beforehand to get ready. That is not the opinion of some rishonim who say it was a special din in Pesach. Because Pesach, of course, has so many deep, difficult halachos in terms of making the matzah, getting the matzah ready, making sure it's not chometz, special halachos in bedika, special halachos in hechsher kelim, even beyond the amazing amount of halachos that are connected to Sukkot, to Sukkot, that there are many more halachos of Pesach than there are of other chagim, including Sukkot. Because it's not difficult, the Beis Yosef says, to build a sukkah. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of details, but most of the time you get it right. Or you can purchase kosher arba minim. There's a lot of, in the Beis Yosef's time, he said, of course, you have all these people who are the experts in selling you the arba minim, even though there is a myriad number of halachas of how to check it out. Yeah, that's simple. But Pesach is so hard. That's what the Beis Yosef says. Maybe that's a decent argument. But what I want to share with you is the Ran. The Ran says that there are two separate takonas. One takona is a learning. That's on the Yom Tov itself. But Shoyulin Vidorshin, the Ran first of all says that some Nuschoyas, some Girsoyas don't have the word Darshin, just the word Shoyulin. So what does that mean? Asking? Asking without discovering? What does that mean? So the Ran says, Hahu in yona achrinahu. The lavla meimer de mechayven mehai zimna lidrash bilchas Pesach. In other words, if you have the girsa darshin, sounds like Rashi and others say, that you have to study Hilchas Pesach. You ask questions because that's the way we always study. That's the Socratic method of questioning and searching and discovering. But if you have the girsa shoylin behilchas Pesach, shoy shibyayim, then what that means is that you have the right to ask hilchas Pesach questions. In other words, normally the Rav has a seder. The yeshiva has a seder of what they're learning. They have a set study subject that perhaps is on a cycle. And that should not be interrupted. That's the way we do it. However, 30 days before Pesach, You could ask the Rav a question in Hilchas Pesach, and he has to answer you. Meaning, if he's asked you a question, let's say the Shir is learning Ribbis. Let's say the Yeshiva is learning Ribbis, and this is what they're zeroing in on. And this fellow was learning Basar B'cholov. You could say, look, I don't have to answer your question now. I've got other students who are asking about the topic that the Yeshiva is learning, that the group is learning. I respect the fact that you are interested in Basar B'cholov, but that is not what I, as the teacher, as the Rebbe, need to respond to. So if you ask the question, you might not get an answer, because questions take a lot of time and effort to explain, to research. However, Pesach questions can be put on the table, and Rabbeim need to answer them. That's what it means. Shoyel in Bilchas Pesach. That in any yeshiva, Pesach questions are just as good as whatever the yeshiva is learning, and you're equal. Maybe it even takes precedence, I don't know. But that's what we mean, Shoyel in Bilchas Pesach. And that's what he says. Shashoyel be'en be'beis medrash ba'is hazman mikre shoyel ke'inyan. Normally, a guy asks a kash, it's nothing we were talking about. Okay, so you don't answer questions that aren't relevant to the subject matter that's being studied. We take this thing very seriously, learning. So even though we just like, oh, I have a question about something else, right? People don't understand how serious it is. It's like the first, second year of law school, whatever it is we're studying now. Don't start asking me from something else. But Pesach, because of its significance, you would start, if you are interested in it, you have the right to call the rabbi of the city and ask him, and he has to answer you. The Rosh Hashiva rabbi comes together as one entity. It's the same person. And even though he's involved in teaching the people in the yeshiva, he needs to answer. That's what Shoel in Bilchus Pesach means, according to the Ran. Whereas on Pesach itself, that's when you have a shira in Bilchus Pesach, no matter who you are. So in other words, the person who's very interested has a right to ask and needs to be answered. That is the opinion of the Ran. Now, if you take a look in the Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch just writes, Shoyelin Behilchas Pesach. He takes out the word Darshan. The Beis Yosef takes out the word Darshan. He just says Shoyelin Behilchas Pesach. So, according to the Beis Yosef, if the Beis Yosef is going like the Ran, the Beis Yosef holds you don't have to learn Hilchas Pesach, at least in Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't seem to hold that you need to study Hilchas Pesach for 30 days in advance. And the Be'er Halacha has a problem with that. As you see here, the Be'er Halacha in the Shulchan Aruch writes, B'tur Yisa Shaylin V'Darshin. The Tur used the word Darshin, which is the Girsa we have in the Gemara in two different places. Now, it's true, the Rif, which the Ran is explaining, does only has the word Shaylin. And yeah, but Shoyelin by itself could also mean, and you get an answer. The Ran is very mechudishtik. Could be Shoyelin means you ask, and of course you're going to get an answer because you're learning about it. He says the Kavona Achasi, whether you have the word Darshan or not, it means Lisa Velita and Behilchas HaPesach Kaidem HaPesach. And that's what Rashi says. That now, which means there needs to be Shiurim everywhere. There needs to be shiurim everywhere, and individuals need to be encouraged to learn Hilchos Pesach. There should be Pesach shiurim everywhere, like we're having tonight. However, the Be'er Halacha knows about this Ran, of course, and he says that if you have two Talmidim, and one is asking an Hilchos Pesach, niskalken loikoidim, he actually goes first, meaning if the other one's asking Basar B'cholov questions, you answer the Hilchos Pesach question. The Mishnah Berurah did his research and discovered that it was in the Rashba as well, that the Rashba and Megillah and the Ran come together in this. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, Kamer Rishonim Pligalayu. Rashi always says it means Shiurim in it, personal study that everyone must do. Taisvis, the Rekeach. The Chiev is to learn beforehand. The Balaiter has the Girsa of Darshan. And then he says, you have to say like that. Why? Because we know that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the reason why you cannot past a certain date be ma'aber other and say we're adding another other is because the Gemara says since people have already started being shoyu and behilchas Pesach, you can't now add another other and push Pesach off a month because people are going to be in a Pesach brain mode. That's the way the Mishnah Berurah understands what the Gemara is saying based on Rashi there. And if you do that and you declare a new month, that means Pesach won't really happen until a month from now, 2 months from now, I mean, and they won't get it. They'll think Pesach was only a month later because they've been learning the halachos, because they've been learning Hilchos Pesach. And therefore, since they start to learn Hilchos Pesach, you can't start telling them, oh, no, by the way, this is going to be other. This is not Pesach. And what's going to happen? People will eat chametz. If you learn like the Ran, it's not a mass movement that everybody is encouraged to learn and study and shiurim are going on. And it's hard to pull back on that. Then once there's this public learning explosion of everyone doing it, you can't just say, hey, by the way, it's going to be a month later. We're all in Pesach brain mode already. But if it's just that the eager beavers can learn, and if they do want to learn, the Rosh Hashivas need to answer them, then is that a reason that you think people are going to be mezalzel and chometz? It's only some yechidim that happen to be learning it. It's not the mass movement of everyone. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, and he says, that if it's because of some people that are asking the question, you can't say that the whole Klal Yisrael is going to be mezalzel b'chometz. The Ein Kan Pirsum Klal B'zeh. It's not like everybody knows, hey, that guy, Shmendrik, who asked the question, got an answer. You think everybody knows about that? Shemeshev Otalma Kishishoyo? So the Gemara is very difficult, according to the Rad and the Rashba. So he says, anyway, he finds the Mishnah Berurah did his own research and says, I admit that these Spanish Rishonim hold that's the Pshat, but they are Yechidim, Neged Kol Rishonim Nizkarim Le'el. And therefore, even though there is a Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi says the idea is not every individual needs to learn, but the Yerushalmi says that it's groups need to be learning it, that the Chaburos need to be learning it. Okay, there's the Yerushalmi, but the Yerushalmi can fit in with this too. Al kol panim beis medrash bechaburos. If there are in groups of Tamidim learning, they need to set aside, maybe they don't cancel the rest of the Zman, but they definitely should have some learning in Hilchos Pesach. What happens to Ribbis that they were learning? Maybe they don't learn Ribbis 3-star a day, they learn Ribbis 2-star a day, but there definitely should be in the yeshiva public learning of Hilchos Pesach. And that's what he uses the Yerushalmi, and he's Doche, the Ran, and the Rashba, and he says they are Shitas Yechidoyim. The way the Beis Yosef says, you know, even though he seems to be noted to this Ran and the Rashba, in the Sefer Beis Yosef, he does write the Sheet of Rashi and Tosfos that you need time to be misasek in Hilchos Pesach because you have to know how to grind the chitim, how to bake the matzah, how to be machshir the kelim. And if you don't learn about it, Pesach will spring up on you and you won't have an etzah. De'ilu Pesach lesu takanta, because you can't just wait till the end, until the day before. If you don't have your matzah and you don't have your kelim kosher, you need to have performed everything beforehand. So it's about how the learning will allow you to enact the laws. The learning, it's not just that the learning is complex, but that you need the learning in order to have a kosher Pesach. And as I said before, when it comes to having a kosher sukkah and a kosher davin minim, you don't need that much learning in order, you know, you could sort of wake up a couple of days before sukkahs and still have get it done. But you can't get it done in those days before Pesach. Now, the Beis Yosef adds that what did Moshe Rabbeinu mean by learning on Yontif itself? So I said, well, there's other dinim of Yontif to learn. The Beis Yosef says a little bit different. Even if you're going to learn about chametz, which you've already learned about how to get rid of chametz and how to be machshir a keli, and you've learned how to bake a matzah, how to have matzah, how to eat the matzah, but you didn't necessarily learn the hashkafa behind it. Lidrosh b'tamim shebaburam nitzav b'mo'ed ahu. So in other words, hashkafa time is on Yontif itself. Beforehand, you've got to be a militaristic understanding of what needs to be done. Ours is not to reason why. Right? Ours is just to do and get Olam Haba. But on Pesach itself, you can now sit back and open up all the different svaras behind why. That's what the Beis Yosef says is the takana of being doiresh hilchos, meaning you're doiresh the rationale behind the halachos, which if you do beforehand, he feels is going to stop you from actually getting it done properly. That's what the Beis Yosef says. However, as the Mishnah Berurah seems to believe, taking out that word of Dorshim in the Shulchan Aruch sounds like he's being noted to the Ran, and this is why the Mishnah Berurah is quite surprised about that. Now, Chacham Avadya, however, defends the Beis Yosef, meaning the Machaber, in why he wrote that in the Shulchan Aruch. And he says, I know about this Be'er Halacha, of course. And I know he feels that the Rashba and the Ran, these Spaniards, are staying on an island alone. But he says, I want to tell you, Viterem Ena, Chacham Avadya writes, Amarti L'chayra Ozen, I think you should know that I can do research pretty well as well. And the amount of Rishonim that we have discovered post the time of the Mishnah Berurah allows Chacham Avadya to out-research the Chafetz Chaim. As he says, they're not Yechidim. In fact, v'nimtza lefaneinu chevel neviim hamisnabim im simnon echad. I've got a whole group of neviim. And who that is? I'm going to add to those two Spaniards, the king of the Spanish Talmudist, the Ramban, and the student of the Rashba, the incredible Ritva, and of course the Ran himself, and the Sefer the Mishnah Berurah was very familiar with, the Maram Chalav, and the Meiri, and the Rashbats, who later went to Algiers. Lochein near Vanias Daiti. That the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch are right. And what does that mean? That means that there isn't a takana for Moshe Rabbeinu that you must learn Hilchos Pesach. And therefore, if the yeshiva is learning ribbis or whatever they're learning, mutter l'chol talmud chochom lahamshech bilimudo bimkomo shalivo chofetz. Especially since this is a topic that you want to become solid in. It's a topic you've been learning for the last couple of months. It's a topic that you feel close to. To force a type of learning on someone who doesn't want to do it is itself negative. You can't do that. You can't say, everyone, we must have a Seder in Ilchos Pesach now. No, if a person doesn't want to do it, he's not going to enjoy it. And there's something to be gained by becoming a mushlam in the topic that was chosen by the yeshiva and the Beis Medrash and the college and what they were planning on doing. Now, It's true, Chacham Avadya says. Hamoyrim hayruah sarabim. The people who are giving shir, the ones who are involved in giving shir in Hilchas Pesach, the one who everybody is coming, the ones, right? So that is something that they should know Hilchas. They need to know Hilchas Pesach. The Marbitzei Torah, they need to know. The people who are expected, the one who are going to get the questions, whether they have an official position or not, they should be up on Hilchas Pesach. What is the reason why one has to be Boidik Chometz? So, Rashi says, the reason why you're Boidik Chometz is because your home, a place that you own, that has chametz, and you're in control, you're going to be over a love of owning chametz. So search it, find it, get rid of it. So you're doing it not to be over the Yisr Daraisa. So Taisus asks, in the beginning of Psalchin, Kashuri, even the Tzorach Bittel, the Gemara says that everyone who does B'dik has to do bittel. Abayda tzar shivatel. Everyone does bittel. We all do bittel twice. We do bittel on the night of B'dikas chametz and during the day before the beer occurs. That bittel is a kiyum Taisus holds in the mitzvah of tashbisu. You're destroying the chametz. And the truth is that bittel, as Taisus says, midaraisa, that's all you need to do. The Torah never writes destroy chometz. Tashbisu sor mi b'teichem. What does tashbisu mean? It can be considered as nothing. Just like the word Shabbos means I'm not doing melocha, ain't going to work on Saturday. Tashbisu is this chometz means nothing to me. This chometz is not mine. I'm mushbas from the chometz. Well, if that's true, then I'm not over by your about yabotze because that's not chometz. I'm a vatalit. It's not mine. Lo yimotze b'bateichem means I own it. I don't own it. I did bittul. It's like it doesn't exist for me. It's like it's not mine. I've disconnected myself. It might happen to be in my space, but it's like the chometz of a non-Jew. It's not mine. I don't own it. When we sell chometz, we keep the chometz in our house. Bittul can do the same thing, midaraisa. So where are you going to be over about yiro? So what is Rashi saying? You have to do bidika not to be over about yiro. Okay, Taisa, so why is there a mitzvah of bidika? The Taisa says, because even if you're going to do bittul, and it's not yours, you're not over about yiro, but you might eat it if you see it. It's still chometz. Maybe you don't own it. But if you put that chometz into your mouth, you're going to be chayiv kodesh. And even if it's less than a kezias, you're also going to be chayiv alav of eating chometz. So we're trying to stop the Yisr Kores and the Yisr Lav and the Yisr Kores. That's why there's a mitzvah of bedika. And Taisus proves it from a Gemara. So what is the machlekes Rashi in Taisus? So we quote the Ran again, the Ran in Psoch. Ratayro, tashbisu. Yochel is kind of a Mishnei Dvorim. Oish Yevata believe by Kol Chomet Sheyesh Pershusoi. Or, yes, Taisus is right. You do bittel in your heart. V'yotzienu b'machshavte mirishusoi. And in your mind, it is somehow leaving your ownership. And that could work even b'chomet sayidu aloi. Or you don't do bittul. So what do you need to do? You need to search out every place you can and get rid of it and make sure it's not here and destroy it. So Rashi, when Rashi said that, Rashi was referring to one option, which is people who don't take the bittul option or do the bedika option. But why? if everybody's going to do the bittul option anyway, based on the Gemara later, that's a takana to do bittul, why are we worried about the people who aren't going to do bittul? So the Ran says Rashi knows they're going to do bittul, but bittul is a tough thing to do. Bittul toli b'machshavtan shel b'nei odom. Ve'ein de'osei en shavois. Not everybody can mentally reach that space where this thing is pictured in their head and they eliminate their connection totally from it as if it doesn't, it's as if it's worthless and it's nothing. Now, some say the difference between Rashi and Tesis is how you understand what Bittul does. According to Tesis, Bittul is like it's like Hefker. Bittul, as you saw, even the Ran said that earlier, it's like you were taking it out of your reshus. Well, that's maybe not that tough to do. But to actually believe that it is nothing, to in other words, it's not just it's something, but it's not mine. It is a worthless piece of dust. It is its existence as a luscious, great tasting piece of bread is not true. I mentally transform it as far as I'm concerned because I love God and I ultimately, where my brain exists, is where I exist. I turn this into nothing. It's like dust. Not everybody can do that. The Ein Deyosei and Shavois. The Evshishayi Kabu Bakach. Did they really mean it? Did they really go so far to completely eliminate it? Like it's not, it's like it doesn't even exist for them as anything worth anything? That's a tough thing to do. That's why the Chachamim were machmir, that bittul doesn't work, and that you have to do bidika. Why? Because they will be over about Roy Yerobal Yabotse. Taisa says they're not going to be over about Yerobal Yabotse because everybody's doing Bittul. Well, maybe Bittul, the way Taisa understands it, that it's a form of Hefker, everybody can sort of say, I don't want to own it. I don't want it to impact negatively on me. I don't want to be over the Aveira of owning it. I hereby say it's not mine. We know people can make things Hefker. And as Rav Kivager points out, if a person says it's Hefker, you can go and grab it. You can't say later, I didn't mean it. If you announce in front of three people, this item is Hefker, take it. And then somebody comes and says, okay, it's mine. I want to have it now. What happens? It belongs to who? It belongs to you, not the other guy who made it Hefker before. Too bad. He can't say, I didn't mean it. But by Bittul, it might be different. Bittul isn't Hefker, according to Rashi. Bittul means you're destroying its value within yourself. Not everybody can do that. And therefore, Chazal say, look, for those that can accomplish it, that's fine. But this is a tough thing for people to do. Let's do Bidika and get rid of it. That's what the Ran says. Vizu al derech Rashi. And as Rav Kivager points out in his Tshuvas, he says there's a salient difference between Bittul and Hefker. Bittul is a gili das, Rav Kivager says, l'mashe b'libay, she'enay choshvay, v'shenechshavay ka'afra. And since ultimately we want to know what did you really think, the anudanan amasha belibay. So your words, when you pronounce kol chamira, that's only a gili milsa, what's in your mind and in your heart. But if you aren't completely committed, then your words mean nothing, which is different than Hefker. Hefker is better than Bittul. If a person goes in front of three people and says, I am mafker my chametz, he's not over Bal Yiro, even according to Rashi. because we know he means it. It doesn't make a difference. What? Well, do you know what he really means in his heart? Hefker is logically different than Bittul. Hefker, all Hefker is, it's the pronouncement itself eliminates your ownership. In terms of Chayshin Mishpat, of who is the owner of this object, the pronouncement does that. That's not what Bittul does. Bittul might be something you say with words, but it's supposed to just reveal what's in your mind and heart. And since that is something that, as the Ran says, not everyone can actually come to such a sense of destroying something which is here, that's the reason why Chazal say, despite the fact that everyone's doing Bittul, Bidika is universal and must be done, because there's a lot of people that would be over Balyarab Al Yabotse if all they did was Bittul. Well, according to Tosfos, the reason why you're doing Bidika is because you were afraid you're going to be surprised by something and you're going to not be able to restrain yourself, and you might eat chametz on Pesach. That's the machlokes. Okay. So let's leave alone what sort of ner for a minute. What does or larba oser mean? So the first blot in Psochim deals with what the word or is. Is it, why it could sometimes mean night and why it means day. But normally it's considered, as the Gemara uses in Aramaic, urta is night. But it's really strange that the word or is the word for night, right? Or larba oser. Or, I mean, you have to have a candle to have or. Maybe people use candles, but that would be ner l'arba osar. Why is it called or l'arba osar? So the Raivad writes in his Biur on the Rif a beautiful explanation. Tama bor. Shekola mekoymos shutzorach lahaktim b'tchilas halayla. When Chazal are trying to say it's right as the night begins, for example, bedikas chometz, when they wanted to announce to all the distant places when Rosh Chodesh was, it says or. What does that mean? That's the beginning of the night. Mipnei shadayin yesham orayim. In other words, it is technically night. The sun has gone down, but there's still light in the sky. There's still some light out there. That's what we mean by or. Meaning it's got to be the very beginning of the night. That's when you have to do bedikas chometz. So therefore, according to the Raivad, it would seem that bedikas chometz is something that you must start as soon as it gets night. Now, as soon as the sun goes down, as soon as Tzeisa Kolchomim, the Shulchan Aruch says, B'tchilas Leil Yudalid, as soon as it's night, you have to do B'dikas Chometz. The Mishnah Berurah says that means right after Yetzias Kolchomim, but he says it's right after Yetzias Kolchomim, but look at the way the Mishnah Berurah indicates the pshat of the Raivad. That there's still some ma'or left. The three stars are out, but there's still some light. That's when you should do bedika. Now, what about activities at that moment? Let's say you have other things happening at that time. So the Gemara says, and this is very important because we are at Tzurba Merabbanan Shir, Amar Abayukach, Hait Surba Mirabonan, Loy Liftach Beidna, Beurta de Tleis or Denage Arbesar. A Talmud Chocham should not start learning. Look at this Gemara, Beurta de Tleisar, as it's still like the end of the 13th, with some light still left. Nagi, also a word for light, on the 14th. You shouldn't be learning in that period in between 13 and 14 when it's still somewhat light. Dilma moshkale shmaitata. Shmaite. Because maybe he'll get too engrossed in what he's learning. And he won't do the mitzvah. When there are mitzvahs that should be done at a certain time, we don't get ourselves in other activities. Chazal, as great as those activities are. So, the Bach asks the following question. The Gemara in Brachos brings a brisa, which is sort of like a brisa that says that even though it's not yet time to say Kriya Shema, what should you do? Come into shul and learn. Imrogel likreis kairei, imrogel lishana shayna. So it says you are able to learn. So why does the Gemara say when it comes to bedikas chametz you shouldn't be learning? Because maybe you'll get too involved in learning. Every single day, a person should have some sort of shir before Maariv, in between Mincha Maariv, and learn. So the Bach answers, because, Kriya Shema you do every day, so you're not going to forget. His son-in-law, the Taz, says, no, a lumdish difference. Kriya Shema, there's an inyan of Zrizin Magdim and L'mitzvahs, but basically it's a mitzvah till Chatzais or all night. So the fact that we want people to be learning as the night begins is a positive thing. Yeah, they might really get into their learning, and it might be they won't say Kriya Shema exactly when the mitzvah begins, when you could do the mitzvah. But the guy who says Kriya Shema an hour later has basically the exact same kiyum. He's not a zoriz. He didn't do zrizin magdimin. But the kiyum in the Kriya Shema is exactly the same. See, and the truth was, he happened to learn pretty strongly. And the Kriya Shema, this is Kivalevich talking now, saying the Kriya Shema is also about learning. So he learned Gevaldik, and then he said Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is also about taking learning and elevated learning to a devotion to God. But it's saying things of learning out of the Torah. It's a chelik in the midst of Talmud Torah. It's a special way to learn Torah in terms of Bimiyachar Hashem. And it's true, he ended up doing it an hour later than everybody else in shul, but he still fulfilled it. When it comes to Bedikas Chametz, the Taz says, he might have not done Bedikas Chametz properly. Chazal want you to do it or L'Arba Osar. They wanted to start because it's a long, strenuous thing. It takes a long time in those days to do Bedikas Chametz. It needs to start right at the beginning of the night. And if a person is learning, he won't be mekayim the mitzvah bedikas chametz properly. His mitzvah bedikas chametz, the way Chazal want him to do it, won't be niskayim. Similar to learning, of course, is not eating, right? Not doing other types of melacha. Now, we know when we learn from the Mishnah in Shabbos that, and also it's we can see that in the first Mishnah Arvei Psochim, that there's also an Isser a half hour beforehand, not only at the time. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Afilu chatzi shoa shekoidem hazman, Isser. Because anytime you've got a mitzvah to do, a half hour before, you've got to be worried. Even if it's eating or learning. However, the Mishnah Berurah gives an Eitzah for learning. Let's see what he says. Im lo shebikesh le'echod sheyaskirenu, kesheyovo azman. You can use an agent to, as long as someone is there to tell you, don't learn now. Oh, it's Shkia, you should stop learning. Oh, it's almost Tais, you should stop learning. If you have someone telling you that, then we believe you're going to listen to that. You begin an activity before 30 minutes before. So it's interesting that here the Shulchan Aruch writes that if you start your learning 45 minutes before the Zman of Bedikas Chometz, Ein Sarach Lafsik, because that's the way these halachas work. 30 minutes is the period you've got to get ready and you shouldn't be starting anything. But if you are already beginning, just like if you start a meal before Shabbos, before 3:30, and it just keeps on going, and that's Erev Yontif, or you start it before the Zman, we don't make you stop. If you're within the 30 minutes, you shouldn't have begun in the first place, and we will stop you. But if it's 45 minutes before, then you can just keep on learning till you're finished learning. We don't think you're going to learn and not do the mitzvah, but we're not going to stop you from your learning. But the Ramah says, wait, Batikas Chometz has to start as soon as you can. Therefore, even though in a normal mitzvah, I would say, hey, don't stop the guy. He started 45 minutes. He didn't. He wasn't within the 30-minute time. He went 45 minutes. He started, let him finish. That's not true by Bedikas Chometz, the Ramah holds. The Ramah says, Tzorach lahafsik, v'chei nirli ikar. Now, the Mogen Avraham wants to use the Mechaber to be Mekel, especially if we're not talking about an individual learner. We're talking about a shir. Lima Tayer Berabim is very choshev, the Mogen Avraham holds. And if after Mariv there's a shir every night, you could say that shir. Why? Because the Mogen Avraham says, the shir's over. Everybody, the shir is the same. The shir doesn't go on for hours and hours. You can say that shir even though it's already time for Bedikas Chometz. No. The shir kavua is a shir kavua, the Mogen Avraham says. Why? Because you're going to go home. And when you go home, you do Bedikas Chometz. However, what sort of shir are we talking about, though? It's a shir that's basically a halacha shir, not a pilpul shir. Because pilpul is so exciting, and it can get you so excited, you go back and forth and this way and that way, you're trying to figure out how to do it. There I agree. Even though it's a shir of Torah Barabim, it might make everybody late. And who knows? They might be so tired out. Who knows? They're not going to do the bedika properly in their home. And they might even not do bedika at all. Chacham Avadya and his son, Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, use this Mogen Avraham and say that you could have a shir, even though it's elbowing into the time of Bedikas Chometz. But Yachriz V'yazkir Hashamish Shemishtatvim B'shir Yechol Livdeka Chometz. Make sure that even though a lot of people already home doing their thing, that and they're learning, at the end of the shir say, now everybody, it's time to go home and search for chometz. He admits with the Mogen Avraham, it should only be Piskei Halachos, it shouldn't be Big Pilpul, maybe Daf Yomi or Mishnayos, or like we do the Mishnah Brura, like Baba Batim do. But not a woman. Let's say you can't be a Raivad person and get home early. What should you do? Especially if you have a store that needs to stay open. So he says, Harotza Lishar Bachanus, Yocha Lemanos, Azishto, B'nei Beis. So we know Bedikas Chometz can be done by a Shliach. Someone else can do it. So call your wife at home and say, yeah, go to be Bedikas Chometz. Don't wait for me. Because it's important to start Bizman. Now, what should he do in the store? Yivdaku Esachanus. If he eats in the store, and the store is a place that he brings chametz, he owns that store, he should be doing bedika then too. Now, let's say your wife is too busy, too tired, you don't have a wife. So what should you do? You run a store? Sorry, closing early today. And go home and do bedikas chametz.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you liked what you heard. If you did, please take a moment to share this or any of the many episodes available on our platform with friends in order to help grow our community. Until next time, Shalom.